Being a magician is a delicate balance between truth and fiction. On one hand, I am looking to create a show that will dazzle and delight, while on the other, I'm skating along the fine blade of a morality that may or may not be questionable, because magic isn't real. The thing is, everyone who comes and sees me perform kind of knows that already, and there is an unspoken contract between audience and performer that stipulates neither of us bring it up. When I make my beautiful assistant disappear and reappear on stage, there is a joy in knowing that trickery is involved, and part of the fun is trying to figure out how it's done. At the same time, nobody is going to rush home and try to rewrite all of the physics books to include a new selection on teleportation. Because of this, many of us who professionally deal in the world of magic shows are scientists at heart, relying on the wonders of the natural world and presenting them in a way that only appears to be supernatural. I've had a show here in Vegas for the last 4 years, and for the first two of them, I was living the life of a high roller, flooded with cash and fame in a way that I would have never thought possible as a performer of something so niche. Those were the good old days, the times that I look back on now with a deep fondness and heaps of jealousy. Where did it all go wrong? Honestly, for as many times as I've asked myself that question, I still don't know for certain. It's not as though all of the magic shows in Vegas started going out of business. Quite the contrary, actually. As I watched my peers gain fans and expand their operations, I stayed in exactly the same place. Eventually, we were only performing to half-full auditoriums every night, hemorrhaging money with a casino who had been naive enough to lock itself into a contract with me. Of course, we started adding new tricks to the mix, but nothing seemed to grow the business. Yes, these were interesting illusions, but not interesting enough to get people talking and have them return to the show with some friends. Whatever we did to switch things up, however, constantly failed to create a big enough bang to warrant the money being spent on it. Eventually, the casino stopped funding any new research and development, and I was stuck with what I had, a failing show and no way of turning it around. This is why tonight is so important, and why the mystery that lay somewhere out in the desert before me was so fascinating. I'm following a hand-drawn map that was delivered to the theater with a small note attached, addressed to me from a man by the name of Dr. Tom Porpin. If times were not so desperate, I would have simply ignored the man's words, a promise of a trick that was more than just some grand illusion, but an actual way of harnessing real magical energies. I'm a skeptic, so I probably shouldn't even be out here either way. Happy to throw the letter into the nearest trash bin so that it's not to waste my time, but there is something about this entire experience that I love. If anything, it's an adventure. The sun is setting on the edge of the mountains before me, making it hard to see out across the vacant yellow flatlands of the Nevada desert that stretch out before me on and on for what feels like forever. I'm traveling up an old dusty road that I must have driven past 1,000 times and never given a second thought. But now that I'm out here, I can't help but wonder how little traffic actually travels across this little slice of humanity in the infinite wasteland of sand and shrub. According to the map, I'm looking for a home that sits right around the edge of these approaching hills, just enough to stay out of sight from anyone who might be driving past on the main road. However, I'm still not entirely convinced that anything will actually be there. A few minutes pass as the sun finally dips out of my view, painting the sky in a gorgeous blushing violet. When the small house against the edge of the mountain finally comes into sight, I tense up a bit, realizing that we are no longer within the realm of some strange practical joke. There is actually someone here with a trick for me. The closer and closer that I get, the more I realize that this supposed desert home is more like a junkyard compound, the entire structure surrounded by twisting metal sculptures that spiral off into the sky at every angle. I pull up to the front and park, hesitating for a moment as I question whether or not I actually want to go knock on the door. I don't necessarily feel threatened, but something strange is definitely in the air. Suddenly, there is a loud knock at my passenger side window, causing me to jump in fright. I glance over and see the smiling face of an older gentleman, bright-eyed and waving frantically at me through the glass. I roll down the window.